Two passages this morning, brief passages, both of them from the Gospel according to Mark. The first is Jesus' call to the disciples, specifically Peter and his brother Andrew, from the first chapter, verses 16 through 18. I invite you to listen for the word of God. As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon, Peter, and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And then over at the eighth chapter of the same gospel, the gospel according to Mark, we find what is often referred to as Peter's confession, Peter's declaration about Jesus, the eighth chapter, verses 27 through 30. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Our topic for the morning, a place at the table. Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Back on January 2nd, Sunday morning, January 2nd, I used an invitation to the Lord's Supper that a number of folks have asked about, including a question about it which arose as recently as last Sunday at our Inquirer's class. That invitation read like this: Jesus welcomes everyone to have a seat at the table. You are welcome whether you're his committed follower or just checking him out. You are welcome whether you agree or disagree with him. You are welcome whether you worship the God he calls Abba, and even if you don't believe in any God at all. You are welcome if you are repentant. You are welcome if you are unrepentant. You are welcome if you haven't any idea what that means. You are welcome whether you're feeling great or whether your life is totally screwed up. Come, have a seat at the table. Come and share what is on your mind and what is in your heart. Now, first, let me say that this invitation is not original to me, so I can't take credit for its composition, though obviously I do assume responsibility for choosing to use it. And I would agree that it does raise some questions worthy of discussion. I mean, even our Book of Order says that we Presbyterians, though we celebrate an open table, still there are limits, as the Book of Order indicates the table is open to those who are baptized. And this invitation would seem to indicate such is not a requirement. So the questions and comments and ensuing discussion has been a good one. So what I invite you to consider this morning is the question: who would Jesus invite to the table? Who would Jesus include at this meal? And that's not just a theoretical or rhetorical question. You see, as I have mentioned from time to time, the communion table here in our sanctuary is not your table, it's not my table, it's not the table of the First Presbyterian Church at Caldwell. It is the Lord's table. And as it is the Lord's table, Jesus is the host. Jesus is the one hosting this meal. This is the Lord's table, we say, our Savior invites. Jesus is the one who issues the invitation. Jesus is the one who invites the guests. We're just acting on Jesus' behalf. So it's a legitimate question, with Jesus hosting the meal, to ask, who would Jesus invite to the table? Who would Jesus include on the invitation list? It's a legitimate question. So let's approach it a little bit by thinking about Scripture. I have included and read two passages, both of which pertain to Peter, one of the 12 apostles. First, we have Jesus' invitation at the very outset of his ministry to follow me. He extends this invitation to Peter, to Peter's brother Andrew, and of course others along the way, and they enter into a relationship with Jesus. Over the course of the next year or two, they learn what it means to be a disciple, to follow Jesus. And then, sometime later, after a relationship has been established, after Peter has listened to Jesus preach and teach, watched him heal people, witnessed him challenging various customs of the day, like associating with sinners and outcasts and the like, Jesus asks the question, which elicits what today we call Peter's confession. "Who do people say that I am?" Jesus asks. And they answer, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others one of the prophets. Then Jesus asks, "But who do you say that I am?" To which Peter answers, "You are the Messiah." Peter's confession of faith. So it is some time after Jesus invites Peter into a relationship with him, after Peter has lived with Jesus, so to speak, for a while, that Peter makes his confession of faith. But sometimes I think in the church we have it somewhat backwards. By this I mean that the requirement of membership is to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that should be the requirement of membership. But it sometimes seems that we are so often interested in membership, in adding numbers to our congregation, that we put the people in the position of having to make a confession of faith before they ever live with Jesus, so to speak, for a while. Peter spent time with Jesus, learning what it meant to be a follower, to be a disciple, before coming to the point where he embraced that reality for himself, that yes, Jesus is Lord. And this is one of the reasons I have trouble with altar calls, that practice of appealing to the emotion of folks by getting them to commit their lives to Jesus Christ in a moment of passion. True, Jesus said, "Follow me." Jesus' said question or invitation to follow me. Jesus asked people to follow him, to learn what he was about, but he didn't require them to confess him as Lord before they did so. The following and learning come before the confession. So what this means, my friends, is that the journey is incredibly important, the spiritual journey. If what Augustine says is true, that our hearts will be restless until they find their rest in God, then we need to attend to the journey, because it is through that journey that we will find rest for our souls. And I think that is a big part of what the church is all about, helping people along their spiritual journey with Jesus. And we do so in formal, intentional ways: worship, Sunday school for our kids, confirmation, mission trips like Pittsburgh. And we do so in informal ways, through lifestyle example, through pastoral care, through joining in fellowship, through witnessing even. And that brings us back to the question at hand: who would Jesus invite to the table? With the previous comments in mind, I think Jesus would say something like, "If you are at all interested in coming to my table, to learn about me, to ask me questions, to express anger at me, you're more than welcome. Regardless of where you are or aren't in your spiritual journey, I would love for this meal to be an entree into a lasting relationship with you. Please join me at the table." Yes, I think Jesus would look at this meal today, this morning, and every morning, Sunday, that we celebrate this sacrament as an entree into a relationship with him. Does that lessen the theological integrity of the meal itself? By no means. The Lord's Supper is so rich in meaning that both the believer and the seeker can find meaning. And that's why I think he would most likely include anyone who falls into one of those categories in that invitation who happens to be here on any given Sunday. So I invite you, if you are a believer, if you are already well into your journey of faith with Jesus Christ, that during this time of communion, to reflect upon the following question: what does it mean in my life to confess Jesus is Lord? And more importantly, How does that confession impact the way I live my life? I also invite you, if you are not a committed follower, if you are just checking Jesus out, if you disagree with him, if you are simply a seeker, to consider that the invitation to gather at this table comes from one who can provide that contentment for the restless soul.